Radiotopia.
I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, I'm Kevin. When I was 16 years old, my friends were dating and having sex, and I wasn't. And it was starting to stand out that I was different.
When it comes to staying in the closet, most teenagers attempt to blend in by dating members of the opposite sex. Kevin Wofsy's strategy, however, was a bit more epic.
I thought it would be easier to write a 300-page novel proving I wasn't gay.
For Kevin, the book served as a glorified journal. Through his imagination, he was able to work out issues he was facing. But since he knew...
I couldn't sell myself on the idea that I was really girl crazy. Instead, I was just above sex entirely. Now, this was a good solution because it not only meant that I wasn't gay, it also meant I was better than other people. So, it was important to give my alter ego a unique and meaningful name. So I went out and bought a secondhand Name Your Baby book. And somehow managed to pick the gayest name in it. Hadley.
From PRX and Radiotopia, this is Mortified. And yes, for no other reason than the fact that I share the same name, it's me, producer Hadley. Not to be confused with the imaginary Hadley. Today on the show, we present a novel so epic that we decided to devote today's entire episode to it.
So here it is, Hadley's Playground.
Kevin joined us on stage in Oakland.
So when it was done, I proudly showed it to three of my teachers. They were not as enthusiastic as I expected. One of them said, "Kevin, I think it's great that you wrote a novel. But why did you write this novel?" Chapter one. My shrink keeps telling me I'm making excellent progress, but all he wants to talk about is sex. For most people, sex is like tiptoeing through the tulips. I don't see it that way at all. I see it like some kind of crazy addiction. And it's just, I'd rather take care of it in a more business-like way. You know, jerking off. I mean, sex is just too confusing. It's disgusting. Foolish. I have a lot of trouble with people who spend all their goddamn time thinking about it. So, part of my problem is that I had a female friend who wanted to date me. I didn't want to date her. So we would go out drinking on the weekend and she'd end up getting it on with some guy while I waited off to the side. It was frustrating, but it gave me a lot of material for Hadley to get worked up about. So here are a couple of true stories I put in the book. Chapter four. We got some vodka and went to the playground to drink it. Lori kept scolding me for using Audrey for her fake ID to get alcohol, but I didn't get it. I mean, nobody blames a baby for using his mother to get milk. So we climbed up in the kiddie plane to drink the vodka. And Peter immediately changed the subject to sex. Lori told this story about going into the woods for a smoke with this guy, and when they got there, he asked if she'd give him a blowjob. She said no. He told her to just close her eyes and imagine he was Kirk Cameron. I poured myself another drink, and the next thing I remember was Peter saying, "Lori, your fingers taste like soap." I asked him what he was talking about. He told me to taste Lori's finger and find out for myself. So I did. It did taste like soap. Then Lori started sucking Peter's finger. So I had her suck my finger. And then the next thing I knew, Lori was unzipping Peter's pants and sucking something else. And I bet it didn't taste like soap. Chapter 7. I'm skipping 3 chapters of Hadley wandering around drunk in the playground. Pretty soon I heard Lori coming over. "You did this to me last time too, Lori. The two of us plan a fun evening and some goddamn stranger takes you away with his goddamn penis." "Hadley, nobody meant to leave you. It's just that things happen when you get drunk. You do stuff like that." "I don't. I was gonna just run away, Lori. I was gonna just leave this goddamn playground and run away." "You never would have made it. There's a graveyard right across the street. And you'd have probably stumbled right in." "How do you know?" "Graveyards don't change, Hadley. Playgrounds change, but graveyards don't." "They just get bigger." "It's a metaphor." Chapter 8. A week later, the same thing happened again. Lori and I went to this guy JC's house and got drunk. I must have fallen asleep, because the next thing I remember is hearing Lori say, "I'm not gonna suck it if you're not gonna come for an hour and a half." Pretty soon, there was talk of baby oil. And then JC was sent upstairs for honey. And then it began. It was awful. It sounded like some sort of major appliance. It got faster and faster, racing and racing. And then the climax finally came. It sounded like a colossal fart. Eventually, Lori came and got me. "You were passed out that whole time, weren't you?" "I heard it all, you crazy bitch." She was my best friend. So eventually, I realized I was going to have to confront the whole gay thing so I could totally dismiss it. So in chapter 10, I introduced a gay character based on a friend of ours who had conveniently come out while I was writing chapter 9. Chapter 10. So we went to our usual hangout, which was Denny's. And when Joe went to the bathroom, Lori said, "Hadley, is this all right? I mean, are you comfortable with this? With Joe, I mean." "Yeah, why wouldn't I be?" "Well, Hadley, he's been coming on to you the whole time we've been here." "Has he really?" I never noticed that kind of thing. Yes, he's been all over you. Are you sure you're okay with that? Yeah, why not? I mean, it's not like he's gonna rape me in the middle of Denny's. And it was true. I mean, why should I be uncomfortable around Joe? In fact, it sort of flatters me that Joe is attracted to me. Maybe that does make me strange. I mean, there have been more than a few people before who have asked me if I was gay, including my mother. But just because I don't rape every girl I meet, that doesn't make me gay. By the time I got to the end of the book, the project was getting harder to control. Hadley was still self-righteous and asexual, but in real life, I had gotten in the habit of stealing Playgirl magazines and beating off to them. Clearly, I wasn't gay, though, so what could it all mean? I decided the problem wasn't that I was gay, but rather that the world was full of gay forces conspiring against me. If Hadley could just face these forces and conquer them, then everything would be fine for me. So I introduced a new character, Gabe. Who has a problem with drugs. Now, in the book, Hadley and Gabe have become close friends and they run into each other at a party. Now, this scene is totally fictional. I made this up. However, I had to write this scene in exactly this way to prove once and for all that I definitely was not gay. And before I read it to you, I want to remind you, I showed this to three teachers.
You're listening to part one of Hadley's Playground. Coming up, a shocking twist even Kevin never saw coming as his story reaches its epic climax. And if you enjoy what you're hearing, we hope you'll consider visiting our website where you can find hundreds of episodes, curated playlists, including one to hear for more LGBTQ episodes like this, as well as Mortified books, games, t-shirts, and more. Visit getmortified.com.
Do you like the stories you hear on the Mortified podcast? See it live. We've got upcoming shows in cities across the country. This week, you can catch us in Baltimore and Los Angeles. This spring, you can catch events in Portland, San Francisco, Oakland, Austin, Chicago, Brooklyn, DC, and more. Get your tickets at getmortified.com.
And now, the climax of my I'm Not Gay novel. Chapter 23. I looked into the bedroom and found Gabe sitting on the floor, stripped down to his underpants. He was filling a syringe. I sneaked up behind him and grabbed it out of his hand. How dare you? I couldn't help it, Hadley. There's nothing left for me but drugs. Nobody cares. They probably haven't even noticed I'm not there. Well, I noticed and I came back and I saved you from yourself. Now get off the floor and into bed, all right? He climbed into bed and I pulled the cover up over him. Okay, now I'm just going to sit here with you and we're just going to talk, all right? Would you do something for me, Hadley? Yeah? Would you lie here in bed with me, please? I need to be close to someone right now. All right. I guess I do too. So I climbed into bed and lay down next to him. He immediately rested his head on my shoulder. I could feel tears streaming off his face. Gabe, how did it come to this? I asked. Because we're really two halves of one person. And then the next thing I knew, I felt a leg sliding across mine. And all of a sudden, Gabe was lying on top of me. And I could tell what was going on because of the nature of certain things. If you know what I mean. Hadley, I'm sorry to do this to you. I was just lying there looking at you and I couldn't help myself. I tried, I really tried. If you want out, run. Run away. I can't stop this on my own. You have to run or I will take you. I will show you no mercy in this. I can't help it. I love you too much. He leaned down and kissed me a couple of times. Three teachers. Come on, run. Run away. Or I'll take you. I'm not bluffing. Speak now, forever hold your peace. Run away. Gabe, I could never run away from you. Do what you have to do. He collapsed on top of me. He closed his eyes and put his arms around me. I just let every muscle in my body go limp and he could do whatever he wanted with me. I had no choice. And I didn't even mind it, really. I was too numb to feel it. I was too tired to fight back. I just let my arms drape off the sides of the bed while he kept kissing me. And it wasn't so awful, really. I was sort of flattered. I just closed my eyes and gritted my teeth while he did it. And then, toward the end, I just dug my teeth into the pillow and moaned a little. And then it was over. And I just stayed there with my head in the pillow. I heard a match being struck while he lit a cigarette. Then I started to turn around, but I was stopped. No, don't. I stayed where I was. Gabe, I let you do it. I know it's going to be hard for you to forgive yourself for all this. But you have to. Because what happened here tonight was me using you, not the other way around. I needed to suffer some sort of ultimate degradation. I wanted it, needed it, and I was going to search for it until I found it. I love you for trying to spare me, but I would never spare myself. And it's over now, and it will never happen again. So, about 6 weeks after I finished my I'm Not Gay novel, I realized I was totally gay. And I didn't need a book deal or the approval of my teachers to be okay with that. Realistically, the deal was probably sealed the moment I chose the name Hadley for my character. I recently went back to that same Name Your Baby book to look it up and see what it meant. And when I found it, I couldn't believe I had chosen that name. I think I must have interpreted it as meaning a blank slate or an empty canvas. But what it literally says in the book is Hadley, uncultivated land, uncultivated land, waiting to be plowed by men. Thank you.
That was Kevin Wofsy on stage in Oakland. And this concludes our visit to Hadley's Playground, where we learned our greatest achievements often inspire the most haunting questions.
I think it's great that you wrote a novel, but why did you write this novel?
Everything shared on today's show was true. No embellishing, no exaggerating, just God-given awkwardness. If you'd like to support Mortified, we have plenty of ways to do it. In addition to visiting getmortified.com to hear more episodes of this show, if you've got kids ages 9 to 13, you can listen to our other podcast, Ooh, You're in Trouble, Stories of Defiance as Told by Kids for Kids. And if you're craving more mortification, today's episode pairs nicely with episode 4 about a closeted boy named Jimmy, and episode 17, Saving Katharine Hepburn. For companies wishing to support our podcast while reaching kajillions of listeners with remarkable taste, email sponsor at radiotopia.fm. This series is a team effort. Our podcast production team for this episode includes Dave Nadelberg, Neil Katcher, and me, Hadley Dion. Our featured story today was produced for the stage by Scott Lifton, one of the many amazing producers whose work makes the stage show possible. And credit music by Snake Snake Snakes. This has been a Mortified Media production for Radiotopia, a network from PRX. Until next time, we remind you that we are freaks, we are fragile, and we all survived.